You ever wonder what God looks like? For some of you who were born after or before 1981, we might have thought God looked a little bit like George Burns with a cigar. For some of you born later, God might have looked a little bit like Samuel L. Jackson or Morgan Freeman. Sorry, I got them mixed up. Morgan Freeman. Or if you lived a long time ago, at the time of Michelangelo, God looked like a old Italian guy with white hair and a long beard. Most of you know the painting I'm talking about where God creates Adam, and the picture of the white-haired, bearded guy reaching out like this and the fingers touch. I always look at that painting and think to myself of that weird great uncle I had that would walk around at family reunions and go, pull my finger. So I can't look at that painting without thinking that. And now I've probably ruined it for you too. With good reason, because we don't know what God looks like. We have no idea. Every one of those is some artist rendition of maybe what God is like. We can't describe God or picture God accurately because we can't see God. But that didn't stop us from trying. So when we talk about God, we always talk about God with metaphors or similes, where we compare God to something we know so that we can maybe feel like we're getting a little bit closer to what God looks like by describing something about God that helps us a little bit. Now, the Psalms, or like the predecessor to Michelangelo or George Burns or Morgan Freeman, the predecessor to TV and movies and paintings, they paint word pictures about God. And sometimes when we get real used to these psalms, especially something like Psalm 23, which most of us have either memorized or heard so many times, and it's commonly used at funerals, we recite it in funerals and we know it, but we don't take the time to step back and look at it and listen to it and let the psalmist's words create that picture in our minds. These two psalms today, you may think, are somewhat unrelated, and they are, but they are also both psalms of trust. You'll hear all different kinds of ways that people have categorized psalms. All the scholars have ways of doing it, and that's great because it helps people understand them. But all you really need to know is that both of them are songs about trust. They're songs about God's faithfulness to us. Well, that reminds me, pronouns are important. Now, it's not an English lesson. You remember, you know, I, me, my. Mine, we, ours, us. Pronouns are important. Psalm 23 is a very personal psalm. It's about me and my. It's about one individual person's trust in God. Psalm 46 is about a community. God is our refuge. So we've got two different psalms here, but yet they're somewhat the same. But they both paint pictures of God. The first one, let's take Psalm 23, the one that's real familiar. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Funny thing about that, at the end of the sentence, that word usually has an object following. I shall not want water. I shall not want food. I shall not want clothing. I shall not, those usually there. But with God, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want anything. shepherd. Now, most of us don't know any shepherds. Last time, I don't think I've ever gotten a business card from somebody I met at Chamber of Commerce that said, "Hi, I'm a shepherd." We live in the suburbs. We don't know about shepherds in the suburbs. But in the ancient Near East, shepherds were an important part of the culture. But they weren't a really highly regarded part of the culture. Usually, shepherds were either young boys or old men. For the very reason that men in between there were expected to do all the heavy lifting and do all the hard work. But that's why when you first meet David in the Bible, he's out with the flock. He's a shepherd because he's the youngest of his brothers. Because as they got older and as they got able to do more work, they were called upon to do more. But David, as a young boy, was a shepherd. Shepherds had a very, very important role. But it wasn't normally physically taxing. Now, yes, occasionally they did have to defend the sheep from something, which is great. But for most of the time, they just sort of hung out with the sheep, right? They watched the sheep, make sure they didn't wander off. And then when the sheep, who were not exactly Einstein of the animal world, when they'd eaten all the grass where they were, they wouldn't know what to do. So the shepherd would guide them to another field. Or if they needed to drink, he would guide them to the nearest stream. But other than that, he would hang out with them. And he watched them. And he watched to make sure that they hadn't run out of grass. He watched to make sure that they had fresh water to drink. It was a job that nobody really wanted. But it was a really important job, especially if you were a sheep. You may not know it, and you might not ever realize that your very existence continues only because of that shepherd. But if the sheep could talk, and the sheep were bright enough to understand, they would look and see that everything I have comes from the shepherd. Because of that shepherd, I'm perfectly content. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Later on in that psalm, it's real familiar. The metaphor goes on of shepherd for a little while, but then it stops kind of abruptly. And we change the metaphor of God in that particular psalm. God becomes a host. God becomes the host. You set a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. We don't often think of God as a host. But see, in the ancient Near East, that was a real significant thing. You remember the story of Abraham and Sarah when they're sitting under the tree and two strangers come walking down the road. Immediately, Abraham jumps up, and before he ever asks them their names or anything, he says, "Come here, sit, let me get you water, we'll prepare you a meal. Do you need to spend the night?" Because in the ancient Near East, it was a rugged land. There was not a Tom Baudet with the light on at Motel 6. People needed to travel, and there were no hotels. There were no rest areas in which they could stop, or no Stuckies with a little pecan roll. Anybody remember Stuckies? But in the ancient Near East, that wasn't around. So what the custom, and in literature outside the scripture, it's called the law of guest and host. Because whatever religion in that area, every one of them had this law that said, you must welcome the traveler. You must welcome the guest. And before you ever ask them their name, you provide them with food and drink and comfort. Because it should be provided just because they're there, not because of who they may be. I Our God is the type of host that prepares a meal for us even if we don't deserve it, even if we're lost. You preparest the table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Even if the world around us is just a mess and we feel totally lost, just like the host in the ancient Near East, God provides a place. No questions asked. Here's your food. Here's your meal. Here's my love. In Psalm 46, we have one more image, one more metaphor about God. God is our refuge, our fortress, our shelter. Imagine for yourself, or imagine, and most of you have seen the medieval castles, right? And they're usually either surrounded by water and a moat, or they're up on some top of some hill. You know, think of Indiana Jones when they go and they get locked in the castle up on the top of the hill. Nothing can come around it. And in this psalm, God is compared to that fortress up on a hill. Away from everything else, above everything else. As a matter of fact, it even talks about later in the psalm, God is above the kingdoms. God is above all the politics of the land. God is above that. God is the place where you can go and run from the storm. God is the place where when life throws you lemons, you don't make lemonade, you run to the shelter. Because who wants to get hit in the head with a lemon? God is our shelter. Another great part of that psalm. You've got the whole image building of God as the fortress, God as the shelter. But then there's this point where it changes. And someone makes an announcement and says, come and see. Come and see. Look at what God has done. It's troubling in some of our translations, the Hebrew word, the desolation that God has done to the earth. Well, that sounds really bad. But the Hebrew is a little less clear, but more like, come and see. Look at all the wonderful things that God has made. So here we are in God's shelter, but we're invited up to the top, to the terrace, to look out at everything. And the one who is calling says, look, see what God has done. See, God makes all war cease, breaks all spears, burns all shields. God is not only the fortress, the place for us to run and hide, but God is the one who's in control of the world. These psalms are psalms of trust. None of them are past tense. These psalms tell us not about what God has done. Because other psalms do. They sing the praises. They talk about the Exodus. They talk about what God has done. But these psalms talk about what God is doing with us. In the presence of mine enemies, you lay a table. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. These are real images for us as individuals and as a community to hold on to. Because life is full of times when it doesn't feel like God is around. Life is full of those times when we get confused and we feel lost. If your business is collapsing and you don't know what to do, the idea of some place to run and hide sounds real inviting. If you feel lost in the woods, you're in the weeds, you can't seem to hit a shot down the fairway, a shepherd God would be nice at that moment. And that's the beauty of these Psalms. The good news is this: God is with us. That's what these Psalms tell us. If you want to break it down so our Western mind handles it real well, you can think about the writer of Hebrews, who said, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can't see God as a shepherd, we can't see God as a fortress, and we cannot see God as a host. But the imagination that God has given us reminds us daily. God is with us in all of these forms. So no matter what your need, no matter how you feel, God is with us. The Psalms of trust and the Psalms of faith remind us of the good news. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.